Week after 68-year-old Esther Martin was attacked. Both animals were destroyed by police. Officers aren't confirming whether they were XL bully dogs. Chief Superintendent Glenn Pavlin says there's no ongoing risk to the public.
I would also like to thank local people who tried to get into the house to help Esther Martin. You should be proud. I note the speculation about the breed of the dogs involved. We will establish the facts and we will keep the community of Jaywick updated.
A £20,000 reward's been offered by police hunting chemical attack suspect Abdul Azidi. They say there have been no confirmed sightings since Wednesday night, hours after a mother was left with life-changing injuries. The Education Secretary's refused to guarantee the government's rollout of expanded free childcare in England will be met on time. Gillian Keegan says she's very confident, but admitted she's not in control of all the bits. A report's warning the UK's armed forces are losing personnel faster than they can recruit, putting their warfighting readiness in doubt. MPs say the military has key capability and stockpile shortages. And in sport, in the Premier League, Chelsea have been taking on Wolves. Let's go live to Nigel Bigmead at Stamford Bridge.
Well, the game is still going on. The Wolves are winning 4-2. Well, it's not now. The referee has just blown the final whistle and there are a smattering of boos amongst the Chelsea fans who are left in the ground. Chelsea's first home defeat since late October. Matias Cunha scoring a hat-trick for Wolves. It's finished. Chelsea 2, Wolves 4.
Manchester United have beaten West Ham 3-0, while Bournemouth and Nottingham Forest ended 1-1. There's a huge title clash starting at the Emirates later this hour as Arsenal face leaders Liverpool. That's the latest. I'm Ruth McKee.
This is Phoenix FM.
Weather on Phoenix FM, proudly sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
Tonight will become breezy with fresh to strong southwesterly wind, variable cloud and spells will develop intermittently. Tomorrow is going to be overcast, cloudy skies, a little bit of rain, breezy and mild.
Weather on Phoenix FM, sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company, proudly serving Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 0800 666 444 or visit sehbac.com for help with your home.
And welcome to the arts programme on Phoenix FM. This week, Spencer is back.
Yay!
It's the Yaying Man. Of course, it is the season of horror film festivals in Essex, and this month begins the countdown to the Romford Biggie, the Romford Horror Festival, from the 29th of February to the 5th of March. And if you're interested to know what's going on before you buy your tickets, we have all of the information.
And, better still, we have a special guest today in the studio, actress Aviana Snow, who is one of the most recognisable actresses in the horror indie scene, to tell us about her journey into horror and a couple of films she'll be representing this year. Recently, I believe, described by somebody as horror's workhorse.
My new favourite phrase. Thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
It's great to have you.
We'll also be playing your requests for our playlist and telling you about lots of other things you can get up to this month in Essex too. So let's get on with it. I'm Natalie.
And I'm Spencer, and this is the Arts Programme on Phoenix FM. That was the Halloween version, the 2019 version of the Halloween theme, and the track is called The Shape Returns, and it's by John and Cody Carpenter. Now, allegedly, according to the special features, there's a point at 1:30 into that track that sounds like very classic, and he was trying to actually create that back in the 70s, but the musical equipment wasn't there back in the 1970s to be able to create
he
that
preempted
retro sound.
What he'd be able to do in 2019.
So he said fairly recently, 2019, that is actually the version of the Halloween theme that he thinks is closest to his original intention.
And of course it was fellow Romford Film Festival producer Peter Blunden who chose that one.
It was.
From our social media.
Although he wanted
week.
The 1970s one.
Yeah, and Spencer thought he would bully Peter by not playing the one that he'd actually requested.
Exactly. Some people need bullying.
Yeah. Sorry, Peter. I'm really, really sorry. So, Spencer's here this week. What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? Oh, so yesterday with my community cinema hat on, along with Peter and Carrie, we showed The Flash and Cocaine Bear at the Mardwick Estate in Orchard Village.
So, just a reflection on what that is, because you spoke about that quite a lot last time you were on the show. It is a free event that you can rock up to every month, isn't it? And it's at the Mardwick Centre. It's every second Saturday, is it, usually?
Yeah, so that if you don't know where Orchard Village is, it's in Raynham. And, yeah, so it's normally every second Saturday, sorry, every first Saturday of the month, but next month it's going to be second Saturday because the first Saturday is Romford Horror.
Of course, yes, that's where I've got confused. And you also have similar at my play centre in Harold Hill. What are you playing next Saturday?
So, yeah, the coming Saturday we are showing Spider-Man Beyond the Spider-Verse and
Spider-Man.
What is that film called? I've forgotten, because I put this in the script for later on. Not that we have a script, of course. So, No Hard Feelings.
No Hard Feelings.
No Hard Feelings, which is Jennifer Lawrence, who is hired to take away a young man's virginity. It's completely free, and yeah, that is at my place on Saturday night. Kicks off at 4 o'clock with Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, or Across the Multiverse, followed by No Hard Feelings at about 20 past six.
Very, very cool. Especially as it's all free to rock up to, bring your kids along to Spider-Verse as well. What else have you been doing? We mentioned Black Sunday Horror Festival last week, but obviously I hadn't been to that. But you have been to that.
Yes.
How did that go?
Yeah, that was good. It was nice. It was in the Everyman Cinema in Chelmsford. Chris Niles and Scott Lyas, who we brought on the show last year, if you remember.
Yes, I remember. I was there.
He was there, and they kind of run the show there. Nice, casual, chilled festival. And there was a film showing that someone that's not too far away from me was in.
Which was showing at Black Sunday, Aviana?
We just got her off guard completely. So it was How to Kill Monsters.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that was showing at Black Sunday Film Festival.
And that is at the Everyman Cinema in Chelmsford, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. It's over now.
Literally. So many horror festivals in one month in
Essex. But there's only one really, really good one.
Yes, and of course that's the one that we're all looking forward to here. Well, I'm hoping Aviana's looking forward to it as well.
The highlight of my year.
She better.
I was looking for that compliment for the horror festival.
My calendar just revolves around February.
Yes.
She better be, because she's in three films at this year's Romford Horror.
Three films. Which are the three films that you're in?
I'm in Yellow, and I'm in How to Kill Monsters. And Punch.
Yes.
Is that correct?
And I believe there is a cocktail based on Punch this year as well.
Oh.
Hot off the press. Mm.
Well, that's when you know you've made it, when there's
when there is
you.
A drink based on your thing.
What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? Well, I have particular green fingers at the moment because I've been practicing a wall green. So that's taken up most of my weekend. In our house, not just a random wall. I haven't been graffitiing or anything.
I'm impressed.
No antisocial behaviour here. Just painting the living room. A slightly different shade of green as well.
So it's already green.
It was already green, but there was too much yellow in the tone, so I had to find
green
a different tone. Yeah, one with slightly more blue in it.
Lovely.
Yeah, yeah, very pernickety. I also went bouldering on Friday night.
Goodness
which
me.
Interestingly made my arms quite achy, just ready for the painting of the wall.
Oh dear, this has been a stressful week.
Yeah, for my arms particularly. So you know when people go to the gym and they just do leg day too much? I feel like I've been doing arm day for too much for 3 days now. But yeah. My guns
are big. Could you not have
helped
with the painting, Spencer?
So, well, I was working.
That's your
excuse. Which was one thing. So last night, while Natalie was painting, I was working.
Ah.
And then this morning, when Natalie was still in bed, I was doing the second
well,
part
shame
of
me.
The process.
Just to say, I got up at 9. I didn't get up that late. That's quite early for me.
So the reason why the decoration is because we bought new furniture.
Yes.
And I was sorting out the furniture this morning, including some flat pack skills.
So this is a whole project, renovating
yes.
this house.
Yes.
Well, it's just decorating after 2 years of being in the house and realising I wanted a different shade of green on the wall, I think.
Yeah.
And going to IKEA and seeing this room that we really like and thinking, maybe we could just get the furniture from that room in IKEA.
I feel I need to see this now. I've heard so much about it.
We will send you pics.
You invite me around.
Maybe we'll put pictures of our house on the show notes when we upload the podcast so everyone can see the difference in shade of green. It's very important. Actually, the T-shirt Spencer's wearing is probably very similar to the shade of green that is now on the wall.
Ah, very nice.
Yes, it's Mallard green, which is a heritage colour apparently, and that's also the colour of my fingernails.
Suits you.
Thank you.
And your elbow was green.
My
as
elbow
well
was
earlier,
green, so. Yeah, everything was green. I've been doing that, and of course on Thursday, I mentioned this on the show with Claire last week. Claire and Matt, who was also on the show last week, had an event at Brentwood Theatre where we were engaging some young people in their views and needs and wants for Brentwood in the future to make Brentwood a more creative place. So that was really fun. We had some lovely ladies join us from NCC College's the Ardley Green campus, some graphic designers, and we had somebody from Ingatestone who owns a creative business at the age of 25. Pretty amazing. And then Josh, who we've had on the show many times, who is one of the lead volunteers at the Hermit. Yeah, so we had a really, really good turnout for that. And we've got some great ideas, which we're planning to put forward to some funding bids locally. So hopefully something will come of that. But that was just a really nice event to be involved in.
And you had pizza as part of that.
And we had pizza as part of that event.
Always forget the most important part.
That is the most important part. That's the only reason people turned up, to be honest.
You've done some design work this week as well.
I have finished the design of the new Romford Horror Film Festival t-shirts.
Whoa. So you're stepping away from this R with the sort of strip of film celluloid.
No, we still
have the R. There is lots of R all over the place.
Because I like the strip of film. I think that's a very good idea.
Ah, thank you. Yeah, so this still features... So I don't know if you remember, Aviana, last year we had a T-shirt that people would get if they had a festival pass, and it said horrific, but it was white, and it was an old logo of an old VHS company.
Yeah, so last year we did... it was Intervision.
Yeah, so kind of a parody logo.
The year before, it was Canon.
Yeah.
And the year before that, it was Arup Films.
Yes.
So that's the idea. Each year, we take a famous video label cover and Nephi horrifies.
My goodness.
Yeah.
You're so talented. I have no idea. All these different strands.
You can come more often.
They're not paying me to say these things, I should clarify.
But I would pay you to say these things, just to clarify. So we've done that. And then there's our Jowlo T-shirt series.
Are we allowed to know what the new logo is for this year?
It's a big secret. So you only find out on the day when you come to pick up your T-shirt.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. So many secrets. Yeah.
People really kind of like the fact that they have no idea what they're walking into in terms of t-shirt. It's good, it's another
and the first 30 people that get a ticket get a t-shirt for free, so it is a free gift in a t-shirt that represents an old VHS that you'd probably remember from the 80s or early 90s.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, so that's all done, and that is definitely happening.
And then, as Natalie was saying, the Jowlo version, which is, for those of you that don't know what Jowlo is, basically, it's like a bloody whodunit. The first Jowlo, really recognised Jowlo author was Agatha Christie.
Mm.
And these are, in Italy, they would be, the cover would be surrounded by yellow. Mm-hmm. And the idea being is that these are inspired by the early artwork of the Jowlo from sort of like the 1930s. So sort of yellow with an interesting...
A red circle with
image.
A picture inside, yeah. And a nice little Italian book label as well. So series two of that T-shirt will be out and available to purchase. Again, secret until you turn up. But you can pre-order if you want. You can just drop me an email. I'll put one to one side. If anyone's interested, Peter Blunden, I know you're listening.
Peter didn't get a T-shirt last year.
Oh, don't remind him. Don't remind him. I feel so guilty about Peter not getting a T-shirt. Just didn't order enough in one size.
Oh.
But anyway, before we move on to the next section, I thought we should do a little bit of national news because we've got quite a lot to get through. So I'm just going to read some of the headlines from this week in arts and culture. The first being, which you've probably heard of already, the Mona Lisa, which is obviously behind glass, got pelted with tomato soup by protesters this week. Had you heard this?
Yes.
Yeah, obviously soup...
And I clenched my fists.
Soup is a great way to protest, and I don't know if you remember, there was a soup protest in Room 42 at the National Gallery a couple of years back, and that was to do with the Stop Oil protests. There's been loads of different oil protests in the UK that have involved trying to ruin work spot. This, in France, was actually about... buying food. So there's a video captured of the protesters as they went in, and the protest is about questioning the prioritisation of art over fundamental issues of food security and agricultural sustainability. And the people that threw the soup are members of the group, I'm going to pronounce this really badly, Riposte Alimentaire, which means food counterattack. So interesting that actually art is now being attacked because people don't think it's as valuable as food.
I think while they may well have a very valid point, I worry that they will lose the sympathy of the public by trying to deface such a beloved painting.
Yeah.
That would be my fear if I were them.
And you could definitely argue...
It's terrorism, isn't it, at the end of the day?
It's vandalism.
You could definitely argue that the fact that the Mona Lisa does have so many tourists turn up and see it, that the Louvre has a big place in terms of tourism for France and bringing money into the country, which ultimately, socially, would be providing food for people. So, yeah.
It's a weird one because we always turn around and say, maybe there's another way that these people can be protesting. We say it for the oil protesters.
But then I guess
protesters.
If they hadn't chosen the Mona Lisa, we probably wouldn't be speaking about it on this programme because it is the biggest painting in the world. That's why they chose it. But
The other interesting point in this is that I went to the Tate Britain last Friday, and as we walked in, we were asked to go through the bags because there had also been a recent spike in protests in other places in the UK. And we got into a conversation about knitting needles and then people bringing their lunch into the Tate. So people would usually come and bring their lunch into the Tate just to eat while they're looking at artwork, and that you're not allowed to do that anymore. And we had a joke about taking in a cup of soup into the art gallery. So this was last week, and then 3 days later there's the soup-related protest, which is quite funny. But anyway, in other news, another, quite depressing one. Council spending on culture in the UK has dropped by 43% since 2010, including Bournemouth Council, who are this year proposing 1.7 million arts funding cuts. So, while in France they're asking for art money to be redistributed, in the UK that is definitely happening. InDesign, the first full-height timber wind turbine, has opened in Sweden. It's fun, isn't it? Wind turbine. And then over in performing arts, and Aviana will probably know all about this, Equity and the Independent Theatre Council has struck a new pay deal to help struggling theatre workers in the UK, while the staff at the International Opera have suspended their planned strike. So, Aviana, hot off the press... Why has the strike been cancelled?
Well, they've reached an interim agreement. I haven't seen the terms of the agreement, but I would assume that they've increased the amount of money that they're going to pay the workers.
So it's kind of still in discussion stages at the moment.
Yeah, it's not final, it's interim. And also there are several different unions involved. So Equity represents the chorus members, but then obviously the MU represents the musicians. I think there may be Bec2 members involved as well, so... They have to strike a deal with each of those unions. So just because Equity has suspended it,
there's lots of different players in the
We should add. Do you want to tell us what your involvement is with Equity?
Rather than me just asking Aviana, our guest, about Equity issues.
So I'm the co-chair of London North branch, which means so there are now two branches in the whole of London. Divided using the Thames as the dividing line, so everyone who lives north of the Thames is now in London North. So I'm in charge of over 5,000 Equity members.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lot of responsibility there.
Yes, very impressive. And we're going to talk to Aviana a little bit more about her background in general after some music, which has come from Charlotte, who is also at the film festival. Charlotte's the one who's been conceptualising our cocktails this year, and the punch cocktail, which I have seen, does look very, very good. So she has planned a song for our horror-themed playlist this week, and she has chosen Jekyll and Hyde, the song Confrontation. And this is from the Complete Works recording of Jekyll and Hyde, the musical. So the song is performed solely by Anthony Wallow, singing both as Jekyll and Hyde on the same track. Jekyll and Hyde is based on the popular work of Gothic fiction by author Robert Louis Stevenson, and tells the story of accomplished Dr. Henry Jekyll as he tries to develop a formula which will separate the good and the evil within the man.
It's over now, I know inside. No one will ever know the sorry tale of Edward Hyde and those who died no one must ever know. They'd only see the tragedy. They'd not see my intent. The shadow of Hyde's evil would forever kill the good that I had meant. Am I the good man? Am I a madman? It's such a fine line between a good man and a... Do you really think that I would ever let you go? Do you think I'd ever set you free? If you do, I'm sad to say, it simply isn't so. You will never get away from me. All that you are is a face in the mirror. I closed my eyes and you disappeared. I'm what you face when you face in the mirror. Long as you live, I will still be here. All that you are is the end of a nightmare. Is a dying scream. After tonight, I shall end this demon dream. This dream, my friend, and it will never end. This one is the nightmare that goes on. Hyde is here to stay, no matter what you may pretend, and he'll flourish long after you. You can't control me, I live deep inside you. Each day you feel me devour your soul. I don't need you to survive like you need me. I'll become whole as you dance with death, and I'll rejoice as you breathe your final breath. I live inside you forever, with Satan himself by my side.
Are you hungry? Then why not try an award-winning Indian takeaway from Hut & Spice? All our meals are cooked to order using the freshest ingredients, bringing you the finest traditional Indian dishes. To order, visit our website at www.hutandspice.com or give us a call, Brentwood 226124, and see why we're the favourite choice of customers across Brentwood to Billericay.
Do you or someone you know have a drug problem?
Talk to someone that has been there.
Narcotics Anonymous is a group of recovering addicts that has found a new way to live without the use of drugs.
For a confidential chat or to find your local meeting, call 0300 999 1212 or visit our website ukna.org.
Take the first step to recovery. Need a will? Facing redundancy or employment issue? Searching for some family legal advice? seeking legal guidance for your commercial business. Or maybe you are moving property and are looking for an excellent conveyancer. Whatever the legal service, for life, business and everything in between, Pinny Telford Solicitors have covered. Find out more online at www.pinnytalford.co.uk or call our Brentwood office on 01277 211 755 to book an appointment.
Get the home improvements you've always wanted at a price you can afford with SEHBAC and our biggest January sale. There's up to 50% off our stunning range of windows, doors, conservatories and extensions, and the option to buy now, pay in January 2025 or 2 years interest free. Transform your home for less with SEHBAC. Get inspiration at your nearest SEHBAC showroom or at SEHBAC.com. Representative 19.9% APR. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're up for a fantastic challenge, for an inspiring cause, why not take on the Baker's Brentwood Half Marathon for St Francis Hospice? Taking place in March 2024, it's a great opportunity to get fit, make a difference, and be part of Team SFH. For more information and to find out how you can take part, just search St Francis Hospice Brentwood Half.
And that was California Dreaming.
And that was requested by Mummy Bays, wasn't it?
By Gil, who you also see at the film festival.
Exactly.
Because obviously the whole family work at the Romford Horror Festival.
Absolutely.
And what it's the only way we have family time.
What we're doing here today, in amongst the listener requests, is I've taken California Dreaming as inspiration to play beautiful sounding songs that are associated with horror films. Mm. So, California Dreaming features in the film The Hills Have Eyes.
So, which I'm sure my mum didn't know before she requested it.
She does now, and she'll think about it differently every time she hears it.
Yeah.
We have with us the lovely Aviana Snow.
Hello.
Hello. There's two important stories that I have to say about Aviana Snow.
Oh, no.
The first one, which I tell everyone about this, is last year she came up to me and she said to me, "Oh, Spencer," she said, "I feel like you're the most normal person in the room."
Did I say that?
Yeah.
And that's a terrifying thought, isn't it?
And, can you imagine that one?
A whole room of people and Spencer's the only one that's...
That's sane.
That's sane.
I mean, I feel like it's one of those things that I should have had inside my head and I shouldn't have said it out loud. So
well,
maybe I
I've just told the world now.
That's
well,
the biggest compliment Spencer's ever received.
Anyone that was there last year when Aviana was there, I was the most normal person in the room. And that, you know...
Yes, people, question your sanity. Yeah. Question it.
My second interesting kind of Aviana anecdote is that... We first met Aviana when she came to Romford Horror episode 1, and she came with Wyvern Hill.
Yeah,
yes, that was a fantastic film.
Thank you.
That was 3 years ago.
Goodness, is it that long?
It is that long.
My lord.
And since then, your IMDb has an extra 30 credits on it.
Really?
Since Wyvern Hill.
Did you sit and count?
Yes, I did.
Like, I haven't even counted.
This is how we get our facts.
Literally, like 10 minutes ago, I counted. I was thinking, you've done a lot.
So I've done sort of... I've averaged 10 films a year in the last 3 years. Is that what you're suggesting?
I reckon probably more, because I'm sure there's stuff that people don't...
That hasn't probably not registered yet.
So... tell us about your journey into film.
Oh, my word. I auditioned for all the drama schools when I was 17, and I wasn't very good, and I wasn't very polished because I was too young to know what I was doing. But I got in Manchester. I don't know how I got in. I think perhaps they were desperate, or I caught them on a bad day. And then I did that for 3 years, and then I moved to London and I just auditioned for absolutely everything and anyone who would have me, even if I kind of wasn't really suitable for the part. Like, I remember auditioning for a touring Welsh puppet theatre and just things
that sounds amazing, though.
It sounds amazing, but I can't do puppetry and I know nothing about Wales, and it was just, you know, you think, why am I here? And then I stumbled... I think I accidentally got a job in... I think it was Paul Hyatt's The Convent, which was a horror film back in, like, 2016 about a possessed nuns in a... It was, like, a convent in... Again, in Wales that was... There was, like, a curse on the convent and all the nuns were becoming demonic overnight. And it was great fun. But they already cast all the main parts. It was basically already cast. And they had, like, a final casting call for a few tiny roles that were still left at the very end. This is how I make my career, through tiny roles that are still left at the end once the main cast have been chosen. And, yeah, I turned up and, again, I was... I think it took me quite a few years to get a sense of, to sort of know what I was doing, because I still didn't really know what I was doing, because I turned up in a red party dress and high heels to be this possessed nun, which, looking back, was a very inappropriate choice of outfit.
I guess you were possessed. I mean, you could have been possessed to party.
Yeah.
What are you going to wear when you're possessed if not a red dress?
Exactly.
So I got this part, being a possessed nun. I didn't say or do very much. In the first scene, she was already sort of dying in the bed, so it didn't stretch me too much, and I suppose even I could manage that. And then I sort of got a second horror, and then a third horror, and then it all stopped rolling, and then before you know it, you're 60 films down the line, and you think, how did I get here?
And everything seems to be horror. But I guess that's the way it is if you're kind of dipping your toes into the water. If something you're really good at kind of picks you up, then other people are going to just keep on rolling with that, aren't they?
Bless you for saying I'm good at it. I think that's debatable. But, I think you get to know people and then they introduce you to their friends who also work in horror. And then before you know it, your whole network is kind of horror people. But I love it, and it's grown on me, and it's now got a special place in my heart.
And when you were at Manchester, were you studying film and TV, or were you studying theatre in general, or what was the course you were doing there?
I have an acting degree, darling.
Oh, acting, just pure blood.
I did what's called BA acting. Well, when I did it, it was BA professional stage acting. So I'm not trained to be on screen. I'm trained for the stage. And then I think, but I did that over 10 years ago, so I think nowadays it's kind of, the course has changed and now there's more this on-screen work. When I did it, literally, I was there for 3 years and I think we did 6 weeks of a bit of screen work. And even then it was just literally, they got a bloke in from outside the university who came in for like 2 days and he had a really, really old camera and, it was not, I don't know how good that training was. But
What was your dream growing up? So if you went on to an acting course that was predominantly theatre, as a child, did you think, I just want to be on stage, that's who I want to be? Or was it a case of, I just want to act, I don't really...
I wanted to be a real actor. I loved all the Kenneth Branagh movies, and I sat and I read all the Kenneth Williams diaries, and I read Anthony Scher's Year of the King, where he talks about how he spent a year preparing to play Richard III, and I just thought they were the coolest thing ever, and I wanted to be a proper actor. How do you define a proper actor?
Romanticised vision of what an actor was, yeah. I guess.
I love all those books about those books that actors have written, formed at the RSC and the National. I have a book of letters written by actors who worked at the National Theatre, which is really, really interesting reading. There's a letter from 30 years ago with Derek Jacobi that he wrote to the management complaining that he wasn't being given big enough parts. It's really, really interesting. I love that kind of the lore of all these,
The story and the hierarchy behind acting, and
there's a fantastic play on in the West End at the moment called The Motive in the Queue, which is about John Gielgud directing Richard Burton in Hamlet, and it's based on the diaries that one of the other actors in the company wrote at the time, and the kind of rehearsal room politics of what was going on, and I just loved it, and I wanted to try and do it myself. I still consider myself.
I think you're definitely succeeding in comparison to a lot of other actors out there. I can 100% confirm that, and I'm sure Spencer would back me up.
Yeah, absolutely. You came up almost immediately when I met Scott last week at Black Sunday Film Festival, Scott Lyas, and he's just like, I just can't believe how busy you are. That was the word. You couldn't believe how busy you were, because you are literally, he said, you see a film's coming out and you end up being cast in it somewhere, and like you say, you can have a relatively small part, but you're in it, you're there. you're what was it Joe said that time, big parts, what was it?
There's no such thing as a small part, only small actors.
So it's that is a famous quote, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I mean, I think at my level, I just kind of love. I still do love acting, and I think a lot of people, when they act, they fall out of love with it because they see how difficult it is. But I still love it, and I'm very happy to be on set, even if I only have two lines. I'm still like, yes, I'll do it, because that's just my. I am still enthusiastic, and I love being there. And I think even if I only have two lines in this, I'm still on set, I'm still meeting people, working with that director. That director might remember me next year, and you're still kind of doing it. I still love to do it.
Yeah, it's cool. It's good that you've carved your way through this horror genre.
Like a scythe. Well, it's horror, isn't it?
And the thing being,
you need to slice.
Whatever you do, you're really, really striking in. But Wyvern Hill, you just keep rocking up this mythical kind of creature.
I get ethereal all the time. That word haunts me.
And I love that clip of you in How to Kill Monsters that we've used in the trailer.
I'm in the background though. I'm not even in focus. In the foreground is big teeth going like a big jaws opening.
Yes.
And it's just me. I know this image. Going,
That is in some of our promotional material.
Yes,
because I love that image.
That.
Yeah,
there is a lot of that kicking around.
Yeah.
Should we have some music and then we'll come
back?
Yes,
we should. Tell us what's next, Spencer.
Okay, so we have Bad Moon Rising by Creedence Clearwater Revival, as requested by Peter Blunden from the film American Werewolf in London. And that is going to be followed by State of Independence from Mood Swings, featuring Chrissy Hynde, as featured in the film Single White Female.
At Active Signs and Designs Limited, our team are passionate about getting you noticed. First impressions are everything. So if you're driving a commercial vehicle, how are people seeing you? Our vehicle graphic products, well-designed signage, can make you stand out from the crowd. Give the team a call on 01708 343 555 or visit us at activesignsanddesigns.co.uk and start getting your business noticed today.
Looking to celebrate a birthday, anniversary, or maybe an engagement soon? At Brentwood Golf Club, our fully licensed function room is perfect for your special occasion. With reasonable room hire, a fully stocked bar, and access to decorate your theme for contact Stacey or Chanel in our functions team on 01277 375 101 to find out more. Brentwood Golf Club Function Room, making your celebration that bit more special.
The elements influence us each year, whether it's heat in summer or cold in winter. At JWD, we can take care of all your heating and air conditioning needs at a reasonable price, with finance available through our partners Can Do if required. Our engineers give their promise to be clean and tidy whilst carrying out works to the highest standard. Give us a call on 0776 009 239 or visit our social media pages at JWD Heating.
The all-new Players Lounge has got everything you need for the perfect night out, with two bars, a restaurant and the best sound and lighting system in Essex. With popular special events and guest DJs, you're always guaranteed a brilliant night at Players. On the 5th of February, it's top DJ Roman Kemp. And on the 12th of February, it's the Stars of House with Marcus Dryden, Mickey Star Lewis and Daryl Privet. Check us out and book now at players-lounge.co.uk.
And what was that, Spencer?
That was The State of Independence, and that was Mood Swings featuring Chrissy Hynde, and it was from the film Single White Female.
Mm.
But it was actually written by Vangeli many, many years ago, and originally sang by Donna Summer.
All of the facts. So, we've got on to the big feature of the day, which is Romford Horror Festival. Tell us more.
Romford Horror Festival is a horror film festival.
What is Romford Horror Festival?
What is horror? It runs from the 29th of February to the 3rd of March. It is a whopping four-day event. Two screens on every minute that it is operational. So you've got 181 films that you can choose from to watch over 4 days. It's super cheap, just like me. sessions are...
I've heard.
Sessions are £3.50. A day pass is £15. Or, if you want to go to the full four-day event, it's £36.
Bargain.
That is amazing.
£36. And as I said, you're going to get to see a lot for your £36, because we've got so many really, really good films.
Mm.
We're celebrating films of really big budgets and films of little tiny budgets that, you know, friends have got together and made in their back garden, that sort of thing. So we're celebrating film at all ends of the spectrum. And the thing that I really always enjoy about when I'm doing the schedule for the festival is I love to put some of the best films on the first 2 days. And the reason why I say that is because people are always like, oh yeah, I'm only going to come at the weekend, I'm only going to come on the Saturday, and I'm only going to come on the Sunday. So what I do is I show the films in the back, they're really solid films.
Does that
films.
Mean that if you're in the final 2 days, your film is not so good?
Well, no, I love to...
What are you saying?
I'm trying to work out what day my film's on.
Aviana's like, oh no, my film is last on Sunday night, what do I do?
Well, you've got two films on day one. It's like the wonderful thing, I think, is everyone's like, oh, the big films are going to be on the Saturday and Sunday.
That's what you would think. Saturday night is the big night.
But what we do is we chuck in these curveballs, because I think it's important that actually you're caught off guard. You're part of a limited group of people that have seen something really special.
And you're awarding those people that have taken 2 days off work to come and watch film on a Thursday and Friday.
Exactly.
Between 9 to 5.
We've got an amazing lineup for the Thursday. And it starts with the classic film, The Medusa Touch, which is pretty much every horror fan will have seen this on the TV. But I bet you nobody's seen it in the cinema. And it's like a cross between Carrie and The Omen. Richard Burton plays a man who controls things with his mind and loses the plot and decides he's going to, you know, make extravagant gestures. You know, crash a plane, blow up a nuclear power plant, that sort of thing. But yeah, people are really enjoying coming to see that. We got most hype about the fact that we're showing The Medusa Touch, which is weird. But of course, there's all the short films that people submit and all the feature films that people submit. So other highlights will, of course, include the Short Film Showcase, which actually has some of the best short films of the whole festival in that first day.
As judged by your selections team.
Yes. And then we've got a festival favourite, Kenichi Yugana, who everyone will remember from the Squid film in year one, but comes back with equally weird and wonderful things. Well, we've got his brand new feature, Love Will Tear Us Apart. We've also got a lineup of films in the cheap thrills strand that are made under £1,000. Moving later into the day, we've got H.P. Lovecraft's The Old One. John Williams' disturbing Watch Me While I Sleep. Sorry, Watch Me Sleep. And a film featuring Aviana called Punch. Tell us about Punch.
Punch was directed by the lovely Andy Edwards, and it's set by the seaside. Shot mostly around kind of Hastings, Brighton area. So it's a sort of insular community, maybe a bit sort of socially deprived, and there's a young girl, the lead part, she has a slightly dysfunctional relationship with her mother.